morning, everybody. It's 10 a.m. on April 28th, 2020, and I hereby call to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors originating for the administration building with public access provided via conference call. Would ask if you care to join us in the question.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're holding this meeting by conference call because the meeting in person is impossible and rather practical right now due to our continuing to adhere to the guidance of having no more than 10 people in a meeting. I would entertain a motion to adopt the agenda.
I would so move. This is Laura.
This is Lisa. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Olson?
Aye.
Seven?
Aye.
Murphy? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Next are updates on COVID-19. Any staff who have any updates that they would like to give us at this time? Hearing none, any updates from supervisors?
I don't have any. I have three items.
Okay.
The first item is related to our break room down in the basement. And on Friday, I was down there, and I observed some employees on their lunch break. And it looked like to me that two employees may not have the full 6 feet between them, and of course, they're eating lunch. So, Joby, I was wondering if you could create some table tents to put on the tables down there to remind people to maintain the 6 foot distancing. I know it makes it tougher to have conversations in the break room, but it might be an extra reminder to people since it's almost impossible to eat and stay masked at the same time.
Laura, since Joby. We've had discussions on just simply removing the majority of the tables and chairs in the break room. It's on our list of items to address. Right now we are focusing on putting up plexiglass in the building, I along with every other office in the department is working with new staff members on duty at the time. But
so
I can make little signs, or John and I will just start removing chairs and tables today if that's what the board would like us to do.
I think the signs might be good enough, and the table tents, I'd be happy to help you out with that, or, just because we're really just talking about typing out, please remember to maintain 6 feet distance even during lunch, and then on a piece of sturdy cardboard and putting them together. So I'd be happy to help you with that. Just type those out and get them down to you. Is that okay? I mean, or somebody else? Okay, but I'll be happy to do that before I leave today.
And
sounds great. Thanks, Laura.
And what's worked really well, I think, is the way you set up the public meeting room. You've got the 6 foot tables, and you've got a chair on each end. And maybe that's something you can do, not take everything out of there, but leave a few tables and chairs there. But if you just leave enough chairs so there's two per table like that and set it up, maybe that will also help people remember. Because I think that's the issue, is just remembering that and grabbing the workspace.
Yeah.
So I agree. The issue we ran into is I secured some storage, but we got more than one building. We're trying to address these issues there.
Mm-hmm.
So a place to store extra tables and chairs that we need to kind of, like what we did in the public meeting rooms.
Yeah.
I think I tentatively have a place to put items for a temporary storage aspect.
Okay.
So, have signs that isn't going to hurt anything.
No.
Okay. And, we appreciate that you're working on that plexiglass, because I know that's the real time intensive thing. So, Laura, you had some other items?
Yeah, just, Todd, are you on?
Todd, on the call?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you're keeping some kind of chart or graph daily about where the state, the region and our local cases are. And if you are, would you mind sharing that? Maybe, you know, just so now that the board has set kind of that our 14 days of declining activity, that might be helpful for everybody to know if you're doing that already in some fashion.
Well, that data is available for us out of
our time. Well, can you turn up the thing a little bit, Linda? I can't hear.
Okay, so yeah, I just thought that we were accumulating it if you were doing that already. I mean, it's not a really forceful request. It was more of a question than a thought.
Mark, I kept a spreadsheet on the state numbers since I first started voting. I'd be glad to share that with you. I update it daily. I didn't do Story County because I didn't realize they didn't, but that'd be pretty easy to recreate.
Sure.
I'll just send you my book.
Okay, and I'm thinking about putting it out to everybody. Not, I mean, that was my thought, was so that now that we have set our parameters, that's one of them, the data showing. I just thought it'd be good for everyone to know where we were with the data without everyone having to go ahead and track it individually. Okay. So the third item comes up with what the governor proclamation yesterday is likely to do, possible impact on Story County. And for those of you who might not know, the governor has eased restrictions on a variety of item gathering, et cetera. For Story County, the ones that concern me, that Story County, along with 76 other counties, now as of Friday, restaurants will be able to be open at 50% capacity. The retail shops will be able to open and malls will be able to open. The dilemma I see is that three of the counties that touch our borders, actually four, sorry, Dallas, Polk, Jasper, and Marshall, they remain under the full restrictions. And I am concerned that there will be some increased traffic of people coming from those counties coming over to Story County and possibly to dining or to do shopping at a broader than they can get in their county. And that's going to increase the exposure, most likely, you know, for people. And for our most vulnerable population, those people who are going to get it and get it severely, most likely, I think the governor said they're anticipating 20% of people who get it will suffer severe consequences. That could open them up to increased exposure. Maybe not directly, especially if they're really limiting their activities, but for the caregivers and the family members that they are close, that are they're interacting with, who may in fact be out there and then get it themselves as it comes from counties with higher incidence of COVID-19 already. There's nothing that we can do officially, nothing. But I am wondering if the board would like to talk about doing some kind of either proclamation or resolution calling for voluntary wearing of masks in restaurants and retail shops. My experience, limited as it is, has been, though, that a couple times when my husband and I have been out and utilized drive-through or takeout opportunities, it does not appear that the people preparing the food are wearing masks. And that concerns me and also some of the servers. So I'm just asking the board, are you interested in us doing some kind of voluntary proclamation and trying to promote that, like, via social media?
I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to this. I would wonder about talking with the Board of Health, too.
Okay.
And seeing, getting their kind of thoughts or input on that.
If there's somebody on the line who isn't muted, would you mute yourself, your phone, please?
Something, or is that the?
I'm wondering if it's the bridge and the mic.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
Yeah, that was just an, another thought of getting input from the Board of Health as well, and getting kind of their consideration or hearing from Les White, you know, kind of is IDPH going to also suggest that? I know that I think in New York, for example, that was something that they did, is they're starting to reduce and relax, but they're telling folks you should all be wearing a mask. I wish our governor would have done that, just for added protection as you're opening things up, because people are still concerned about, okay, is this going to ramp up the number of people? We know that people will probably test more positive because testing is continuing to go on, but the level of illness that an individual may experience or not experience, what can we do to protect that? So I'm not against suggesting folks to do that, whether that needs to be a proclamation or resolution or what I'm...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Linda?
Well, just to fit in with that, I did talk with Les White yesterday about a couple issues that I had questions on, and she's going to attend our conference call meeting this Friday. So
oh, okay.
Probably discuss it with her as well, but it might be... Lisa, you're on the Board of Health. Maybe you want to
I can
with them. I think
I can. I can reach out to them today. So
I think all we can do, whatever we can do to encourage, we can't require anything, obviously.
Right.
The AGs will find that it's a public health emergency, therefore it's in the governor's ballpark, but we can certainly make recommendations on that.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's all I. Those are my three issues I thought were appropriate in this session.
Any other items on COVID-19?
I don't have anything else.
Going on to number 7, items for the Board of the Question we need action. We have none. Item number 8 is public comment. Is there anybody on the line who is a member of the public who wanted to make a public comment about anything on today's agenda? Or are there any text messages?
There are no text messages.
Anybody? Comment? I will close the public comment session and we'll go on to proclamation recognizing May 3 through 9, 2020 as public service recognition. And I wonder if the supervisors would want to join me in reading it. Morris, would you I'll read the title and then if you read the first three whereases and read the last two, I'll read the brief.
Sure. Okay.
Public service recognition week is May 3 through 9, 2020. And it's in honor of millions of public employees, federal, state, county, and city level. Particularly appropriate to have proclamation at this time.
Whereas Americans are served every single day by public servants at the federal, state, county, and city level. These unsung heroes do the work that keeps our nation working. And whereas public employees take not only jobs, but oaths. And whereas many public servants, including military personnel, police officers, firefighters, border patrol officers, embassy employees, healthcare professionals, and others, risk their lives daily in service to the people of the United States and around the world, and whereas public servants include teachers, doctors, and scientists, train conductors and astronauts, nurses and safety inspectors, laborers, computer technicians, and social workers, and countless other occupations. Day in and day out, they provide the diverse services demanded by the American people of their government with efficiency and integrity. And whereas, without these public servants at every level, continuity would be impossible in a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials.
Now, therefore, be it resolved, we, Story County Board of Supervisors, Story County, Iowa, do hereby announce and complain to all citizens and set seal thereto that May 3 through 9, 2020 is Public Service Recognition Week. All citizens are encouraged to recognize the accomplishments and contributions of government employees at all levels, federal, state, county, and city. And we are particularly grateful to our county employees at this time. It's not part of the proclamation, but I just wanted to add who are particularly proud of our county employees now who are keeping services going to the public in this difficult time. Thank you, everybody.
So I move the Public Service Recognition Week proclamation.
I second adoption.
Any further discussion? Evans?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Proclamation is approved. We'll head on to agency reports. We have a report from Heartland Senior Services. And do we have Nancy Carroll on the line by any chance?
I doubt it.
Yes, but I just okay. I do have a follow-up question, which I might ask Nancy, because I think the statistics, they get a full fiscal year, and they get fiscal year 19 statistics. I have no idea what their statistics look like for the last few months, and I don't know if they've ever talked to Nancy about.
Oh, for fiscal year 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're in fiscal year 21 right now.
We're in 21, that's a long one. But we're in fiscal year 20 now.
Oh, right, yeah, 20, right, yeah. right, yeah.
But 18, 19, I might follow up with Nancy and Dale, because I just am curious to see where they are right now with the other services.
Yeah, yeah. No, that would be, I guess I looked at it initially thinking it was just an error and didn't change the date to 1920. Versus 1819, but that would be a good clarification to find out.
I'll follow up with you. She just gave us a mini report on that, unless maybe it was an update. I'll check.
Thank you.
Okay. And then we also have a Workforce Solutions and Economic Development quarterly report. Is anybody on the phone with that one?
I haven't read it online. I'm online too. This is Dustin.
Hi, Dustin. We've looked at the report, so you don't have to go through it slide by slide, but is there anything else that you want to add that's not in there or emphasize?
You know, one thing I'd like to change actually is an update on the Small Business Relief Grant from Iowa Economic Development Authority. They reopened that application round to existing applications. So they didn't accept new ones, but ones that didn't receive funding previously, they were looked at again. And that number has now, for Story County, bumped up from, I think, 39 to 61 businesses throughout the county that have been served by that program, and a total amount of about $1.3
million.
Yeah, and the exact amount is actually $1,208,655.
Okay. Good news.
So, Justin, this is Laura.
Supervisor, it's Brenda Dreyer. I'd gladly take any workforce questions you might have at this time.
Laura Solson has a question.
I have a question for Dustin, following up on what he just said about the small grants. Dustin, the Chamber / AABC had put out a list of the recipients of the first round of the 39, I believe, or was that for the PPE for the restaurants?
You know, I believe the list you're talking about is more than likely the Small Business Relief Fund, but
okay.
We have compiled a spreadsheet of the businesses in the county.
So that might be something I think that maybe the supervisors would be interested in just seeing, is that since you've got a spreadsheet of who's received what aid, okay?
So you're asking for an update of that.
I'm asking for an update of that spreadsheet.
Can you do that, Justin?
Yeah, right away, I can share a list of the actual businesses with you.
All right. Thank you. So we'll just look for that coming from you.
Did anybody have any other questions of Dustin or any questions for Brenda?
I don't think so at this time.
No, and I have no questions for Brenda.
Okay. That's it then. Good.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Good report.
Thank you.
Next, we have consideration of minutes. And we have two sets of minutes, April 17th special minutes, special meeting minutes, and April 21st minutes.
I would so move as presented.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Edens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are adopted. Next, we have consideration of personnel actions. Are there any motion for approval of personnel actions as listed?
So moved.
Are there any?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay. I didn't download the amended one. Sorry. Second.
Okay. Seven?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Personnel actions are approved. And next, we go on to claims. I entertain a motion for approval of claims as submitted.
This is Laura. So moved.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Seven?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Claims are approved. Next, we have consent agenda, and was there an item to be pulled?
Yes, I'd like to pull item 6, a letter from the sheriff asking for authorization of an additional deputy.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda, last item 6.
So moved.
Second.
Seven.
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Murphy? Aye. And would you like to ask or say about
Well, yes. Okay. So I pulled this, and I did let, on Sunday night, I let the sheriff know that I was going to pull it. Okay. So I believe Sheriff Fitzgerald is on the line. But the request is to approve us to hire a deputy. It's for the approval now of the additional position. Okay. Not to hire, but of the position. But then the sheriff is saying, but he won't hire until he hears from the board about the county's fiscal position to be able to afford this position. Well, first of all, we have a hiring freeze. We just passed a hiring freeze. And we did that to give us the opportunity to examine what this is really going to look like for impact for the county now and in the future. And my concern about approving something like this now, saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and authorize you and we'll come back and tell you when you can actually do it, is that there are projections that we could be feeling economic impact 2 fiscal years from now. We've already received from one mayor inquiry about some kind of relief from the county, possibly suggesting that we absorb, if you will, the per capita fee that is charged for law enforcement. And how we would absorb that might be one way or the other, but there definitely could be an impact to the sheriff's budget already. I'm very leery for us to approve a position when we don't know the capacity to take, to able to actually fund that in the future. And this is not a one-time obligation we would be giving approval for. This is a new added position. I also am a little concerned about, like I said, we just passed a hiring freeze, so a week later to come in, it seems disingenuous to me. Are we serious about taking a real look here about what the impacts will be? And then the third thing is we actually did build this budget with anticipation of revenues for 3 positions. So why would we do this one and not do the other 2 that we had gone ahead and if you will, put money into the budget? And there certainly is no rush here from my perspective, because the biggest rush is for us to really get a better handle on what is the financial situation of the county going to look like. And even though we passed the levy, okay, and we can't go above it, we may have to make the spending adjustments on that. And just because we said this is what we're going to levy does not, in fact, mean that people will be able to pay the levy. I mean, we could have an uptick in delinquent taxes. So there are all kinds of unknowns here. So I think that approving, authorizing this position prior to us really having a better handle on it is premature.
Sherry, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Would you please state your name and address that?
Yes,
Yes, I will. First of all, we have worked through this process for the last 2 or 3 years in the budget hearing. To bring on another position is not just coming in front of the board and doing this in most cases. Since we've been working on this, my intent was not to be disingenuous, but my intent was to go ahead and have the position authorized. And in my email to put this on the agenda was to ask for the board to go ahead and authorize the position, but we will not fill that position until we see where the coronavirus has taken the county, and only when the Board of Supervisors gives the approval to go ahead and bring that person on. But it would save not having to go through this process again and having a position there.
Sure.
Through my years, 28 years as sheriff, I think I've proven to be a good team player throughout the county. And in other instances, we've had some issues come up where I have not filled positions that have become vacant because of the financial standing of the county. And with that said, I would think that the board would recognize that and would go ahead and authorize the position, knowing that it will not be filled until the board gives permission to do so. And that's even been put documentation in writing that you have in front of you now. Thank you.
Sheriff, this is Lisa. Is there a reason why you didn't complete the exemption request form? Because I see you did that for a different position. I'm just wondering why that is not.
The other one is an existing authorized position, which is vacant. This position isn't funded until July 1.
Oh, okay.
Would that be correct, Sheriff? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the other position that I think Lisa's referring to is the detention officer position. We had detention officers give a notice he's going to Kansas City Police Department, and when he leaves here, we'll be down with one position that has been offered. And watching inmates, we have to have staff to do that. So that's just refilling that existing position that we currently have on the books right now.
And I believe, I'm asking actually my colleagues here at the table, I think Lisa Markley's coming before us, is it next Tuesday, to talk about kind of where we are financially, so we have a better idea where we're at.
I know that.
With the adjusted ending fund balance projections. My concern is, and we know that it's very difficult for one board to obligate another board in the future. And we all know that 8 months from now, 8 months and a few days, okay, there will be a board change. We know that because I'm leaving. And so I don't want to obligate another board or a new person to the board to obligate on this authorization. So that's another thing here is that, and back to you say Lisa's coming on May 5th, we don't have any idea about the budget implications. We've already received, like as I said, the request from one mayor, may come from more, saying, hey, how can the county help us with budget relief? We've got the situation about, we've been hearing from Darren Moon about what's happening related to the road tax funds that may come down. Now, I know that those get set up, that they go for secondary roads. Once we move them, we can't move them back. But we do know the local option sales tax. We have budgeted, including some sheriff expenses, to be paid out of local option sales tax or rural fund, if you will, and there may be changes there. And I don't think on May 5th we are going to be able to do a projection about what fiscal year 21 is going to look like. And it'll be going into fiscal year 2022, which will be in January and February, where I think that's where the county's really going to know if there's money available for additional positions or other changes that may be made. That's why I'm saying this is a premature request.
Lourdes, I understand very much what you're saying about revenue, and that's why I was one who was advocating that it's time now to do a hiring freeze, because that helps us look ahead and helps us, not end up in a situation where all of a sudden the bottom falls off and we end up laying off a lot of people.
Right.
I think that's the worst, very worst thing to do. That total abject would be an abject lack of planning at this point. And I'm not for filling all the positions. The way I understood, and I did see the sheriff earlier today, and I told him I had been thinking about pulling this, and I said, I swear to God, it was a hiring freeze. The sheriff assured me that he understood that the position, even if authorized, would still be under any hiring freeze, and he would have to come back and do the same exemption form that he sent the detention officer if he wanted to fill this position while there was a hiring freeze on it. I really anticipate to have a hiring freeze in this process for quite some time until we come back to something that's normal.
So I guess, then why would you move forward on something when it's still under a hiring freeze?
Right.
That would just be my other question. And is it some, I mean, obviously it could be something that can come back to us. It could come back to us in a couple of weeks, another month or more.
Is there anything that would preclude you asking the position to be authorized at the same time you would ask for the exemption from the hiring freeze? I mean, I think that's the question.
Yes,
and I'd like to point out when I said disingenuous, I'm not calling the sheriff disingenuous, sir, by any means. See, the three of us passing a hiring freeze a week ago and then already going around it and not even getting the right form for it. So I'm calling us disingenuous, the possibility of that.
So let me ask the sheriff. I think what I heard you saying was that you're requesting the authorization now so it's ready in case you want to fill the position and ask it to fill the position later. My question to you is, why don't you do both of those things at the same time instead of asking the authorization now?
Well, the history, not only here at the sheriff's office, but I believe in other offices and departments, is something that you lay that groundwork out years in advance sometimes. And the number of deputies that we have, we have moved out to the Justice Center in 2002, and we came out with 18 road deputies, 15 deputies and 3 road sergeants. And today, that's our current model. So we have been talking to the board about increasing that staff for some time, and now that we have the authority, because if you remember back in the budgeting process, my original request was for 3 deputies for the road. And we come back and through discussion, the board had agreed to give 1 position. So you can see the lengthy process that this goes through. And by the board, if I may say, by the board granting this request today, and then down the road, as Laura had indicated, there will be a different board sitting here. Well, that board will have that decision to make whether or not the position has been granted. Because whether I come back to them and ask them to grant the position and make it official then, or just come to the board with the ability to fill up existing position, that is merely all that I'm asking for. And again, the same board, whoever and whenever that is obviously their decision to make. And I have already indicated in writing that I'm not going to go ahead and fill that position. I've already ordered the cancellation of equipment that goes along with the new hire. So that is not being ordered. And I fully expect that this will be in place for some time. And I just ask that the board authorize the position to be granted, and we will wait until the county is in such a position where they can move ahead with filling that spot.
So how do we... I'm sorry. Okay, so how do we all do that then? Should we do all 3 that we put in the budget? Because I did not, anyway, think by putting the money in that we'd authorize the position. In fact, one of the 3 positions that the board discussed about going ahead and including in the budget for fiscal year 21 actually had the money in the budget in fiscal year 20 also.
Well,
and that was the homeless prevention. But the board never did the authorization. So authorizing it, we haven't authorized anything. We included it as a budget. We included it in our budget calculations, and I think that there's a big distinction between. So going back to, I like Linda Murphy's question, why not do them both at the same time? I mean, you know, why would we have to deal with this, do it with this now, then rather than when it's the appropriate time when we know that we can take on a long-term liability?
Again, coming back, this is bringing on a new position is usually not simplistic, as you might state there.
Right, yes.
It takes quite some time, it takes discussion with the board, it takes a process. Now, what I had put in my request for three deputies, again, was to let the board know where we've been with the number of road deputies for quite some time. And we knew coming into that work session that the county did not have the capacity, I didn't think anyway, to fund the three persons, just the sheriff's office. So the discussion, the board's decision was to authorize one person. So now that we have that, I'm just trying to set the infrastructure in place. So should it come this coming year or the year after or whenever, that is the time that that position being there would be filled. It would be, in my opinion, it would be no different than if the county does go into a little bit of a disadvantaged position and would look at layoffs. And if I had a deputy that left, and would be asked not to fill that position, and so I hold off on that, we wouldn't take the position away. We would just hold off on hiring that person. And what I'm asking for is no more than just that. And it would cut time, it would cut it and make it more efficient to have the position and just have the board authorized to fill it than it would, in my opinion, to begin this entire process again.
But the process is just sending this letter.
And the exemption.
And what we've done in the past is that once the board is not authorized to increase the staffing level during the budget work session, they do follow up that if you want the board meeting to get that position authorized. They do it individually by department, and there are some that choose to wait because they don't want to, sometimes it's only funded halfway through a fiscal year. So as far as this, you can do it now or you can wait and do it when. It does give them, if the board operates the position with the hiring freeze, it does give the officer department the ability to strategically plan out how they want to handle that recruitment update and when they want to move forward instead of coming back. Say in December or January, asking for the authorization and then moving forward. So there is some time saving there, but it can be handled either way, depending on how the board wants to handle that.
Okay. Appreciate that, Melissa. Mm-hmm. So it's not unusual to bring a request for an authorization, is what I'm hearing, even if the department isn't ready to hire. That's on one hand. On the other hand, these are somewhat unusual times. So I think that's why the board's struggling with. And I recognize the fact that you said you canceled the equipment that you have that might have been going ahead with. So that's something that you would need to do again, but you wouldn't do it until we had the hiring exemption.
That is correct.
So I'm not struggling with this. I don't know that it means we've made any more of a commitment. The only difference would be if we approve this now and we had a very quick hiring freeze, it took the hiring freeze off in a few months, the position would be authorized and the sheriff would not need to come back to us. Is that correct?
Well, that's why I would look at it, but I would let Melissa, I would yield the comments on that.
Yeah, if you guys, like, do away with that microbreeze, then that gives us more time to all get forward. And not have to come back. It eliminates that extra step in one of them.
And we don't know. There are so many unknowns right now. We don't know how long the hiring freeze will be there.
And Linda, if I may, again, just to reiterate, again, throughout my administration, I've been, I believe, a good player with the county, especially with the Board of Supervisors. And asking for this request, and again, knowing I would not fill it, even if the hiring freeze was lifted, until I was back in front of the board and after that officially. This is a very unique time. Nobody has been through what the entire country is going through right now, and I'm certainly not going to be reckless or irresponsible knowing that and putting the county any more at risk.
Sheriff, I appreciate that. Any other questions for the sheriff?
Sheriff, I don't have a question for you. I just want to make a comment. I don't see you being reckless at all in your how you run your department and working with your staff and working with the supervisors in the other department. I think my only struggle is this something that we need to do right now? Is it something that it sounds to me just something that can easily be brought back before us, and we don't know for how long this hiring freeze is going on. That's where I'm kind of struggling at myself on this particular request at this particular time. I just want to make that comment.
Laura, any final comments?
None.
Item in front of us, I would entertain a motion.
I would move that we deny the request at this time and invite the sheriff to resubmit to the Board of Supervisors when the Board of Supervisors indicates it's appropriate to look at it.
Can you explain what you mean by appropriate? Are you saying
okay.
Let me...
When
second for discussion.
Sure. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll second. Okay. What is your determination of appropriate? Are you mean with the hiring?
I can define that. When the board lists the hiring freeze and has a determination that this position can be, in fact, absorbed into the fiscal year 21 budget.
I'd like to make a comment there.
Sure.
I think that putting it with the board to initiate, it's okay to ask now. So it's kind of contrary to our policy on the hiring freeze.
Okay.
Where we're allowing elected officials and department heads to come to us and ask for an exception. That would mean, no, Sheriff, you can't do that until we say it's okay for you to ask for an exemption. And I don't think that's your intent.
I was not my intent. Thank you for correcting that. I'd like to amend my motion to say I move that we deny the sheriff's request at this time, period. Would you?
I'll accept that friendly amendment.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
None.
Then we'll vote on that. Olson?
Aye.
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. And Sheriff, do understand that doesn't mean that we don't understand the need for this position and that it was not even all of the patrol deputies that you asked for. It really is, in terms of the uncertain times right now, if you want to come back and ask for the exemption of hiring freeze, I think we've allowed that and you can bring us back at the very same time together. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, then let's head on to public hearing items. We have none. Additional items, discussion and consideration of the revised loan. policy number on five here. Are you on the phone?
Yes, they're great.
Good morning.
Last fall, Cindy and I presented an updated wellness policy. In that policy, what we updated at the time was fitness discounts, agreements with local gyms, and also a fitness reimbursement of $10 a month. Due to the recent developments, we have revised the policy again to remove the fitness reimbursement. And I'd like to have Board of people to move forward with the 7-day review.
Okay, any questions?
I have no questions. This is Laura. I don't have any questions at this time either.
Okay, we entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the revised wellness policy and allow it to go out for the 7-day review.
I second.
This is Laura.
Any further discussion? Not Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Thank you for bringing that to us.
Thank you.
Next, we have a sheriff exemption to fire. Request.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
Good morning, Board. This is Alyssa Wignall, and we received a request from the sheriff's office to have an exemption to fill a recently vacated detention officer position. They completed the required form. They did note in there that there is a 1-week training time for a detention officer to at least 3 months before they can fully utilize that detention officer. One thing I do want to note with the current situation, this position does cover essential questions in the county, and we would not want to get into a situation where we are having staff in our jail. So those are my comments. If you have any other questions, I think the sheriff's office would be able to answer those for you.
Any questions, Board?
No. Oh, I have no questions. I have a comment. This is Laura. I remember, I think it was right before I came on the board, took the oath, that there was a presentation prepared by the Sheriff's Department and the jail division explaining about detention officers. It was, I think, 20 pages long or whatever, the entire analysis here, and about how difficult it was when there was a shortage in the jail. So this one, I certainly also acknowledge that it is an essential function, and it has been an ongoing situation where the jail has had to hire a new detention officer or officers as the detention officers move on. So I am in support of giving the exemption in this position.
And this is Linda. I'm also in favor of it. I realize that we have our jail population down quite a bit right now, but I know that that doesn't necessarily mean that we're opposed to the jail fill. And just because of the jail set up, and also looking at the fact that I don't know that particularly with opening up the communities more, opening the business, having people out more, I think we're headed down the road of, I think that there will be more people possibly being arrested. We may have more people in the jail. So we're looking at three months to train an detention officer. I think we probably are going to need that time, and that's on top of hiring somebody, going through the hiring process. So I'm in favor of this. I'm in favor of this extension.
No, I think it's my turn to make the motion. I move that we approve the request for an exemption from the hiring freeze to for the one detention officer position. Second.
Any further discussion? Not Olson?
Aye.
Seven?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. exemption approved. We will move on then to discussion and consideration of two 2020 Chevrolet Silverado unbudgeted item. Darren Moon?
We're putting that ahead of the request of the Story County Economic. Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm still working off of a different agenda. Yeah. I apologize.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, I'm up then. Yes, what I'm requesting is we had three pickup trucks budgeted in FY21. We would like to move two of those up to this FY, so essentially get them just 2 months early. Part of it due to our social distancing policy. We're going to be having summer help come on in about a month here. We want to have the pickups on in stock. And also, talking with the dealers, they're starting to become a shortfall. They're cutting production in some of the plants, so there could be difficulty getting these in the future. So we were able to locate two pickups that were close to our spec that were in stock at both dealers. Carl Chevrolet had the state bid for this, the closest to what we're looking for, and they were able to find one in stock that they had, and the only other one we could find was at Brown Chevrolet, and they were still fairly close to that state bid price, right? They're both around $26,000. So that's in a nutshell why we're doing this. So any questions about that?
Money in your current budget for these?
Yes, and we, as part of our budget amendment, these will be bringing, we did include these in there just to account for it. But, and as far as what we budgeted for FY21, we had $100,000 for three pickups. This, add these two together, is about $53,000. So we have $20,000 left for the third ticket, so we had actually be under what we had budgeted in the first
place. So there's the money next year, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Nothing. No, there'll be more for Lisa Markley when we discuss the budget, you know, fiscal year 21 budget related to making sure we hit our minimum of 75% expenditures here. But so other than that, nothing.
I don't have any questions at this particular time.
Okay, then I'd entertain a motion for approval of the engineer to purchase two Chevy Silverados.
So moved. Second.
Denmark?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Approved. Good work.
Thank you.
Okay, next. Discussion and consideration of requests to the Story County Economic Development Group. They poll their members on behalf of the Board of Supervisors on the economic impact of COVID-19 on their respective city government budgets and possible requests for county assistance with responses due to the Board of Supervisors no later than May 15, 2020. Supervisor Olson.
Certainly. As I mentioned in an earlier discussion, we have received communication, a written communication from one of our mayors, Mayor Cominguez from Collins. It follows up a verbal kind of preemptory or informal request he made during a jurisdictional meeting. But it has to do with what could the county possibly do to help the smaller communities given this time of great unrest. All of the communities are also predicting there will be a reduction in their budgets effects on them. So only one community has asked so far, but there could be other communities out there who are in fact looking at their budgets, looking at the impact. So I believe that one of the reasons the Story County Economic Development Group was set up was to handle inquiries like this and to gather information from the members about economic impact. And so I have, when I kind of was communicating on this, and I sent out an email to Drew Camp, who is the chair of the Surrey County Economic Development Group. Also, I included Dustin Ingram, who is our lead contract person on that, and I included Leanne Harder because she is a staff person who provides the technical support. I've heard back from Dustin and Drew Bowe saying that should we decide to make this request, they would be happy to try and facilitate it. And I picked the date of May 15th, as I know that we head into the end of the month and likely early June, we'll be taking a look at the impact on assets. We'll be taking a look internally about maybe some of our impacts as we move forward on this, at least for this budget year. And we'll be hearing from Lisa Markley about what we think a new ending fund balance would be. So this would seem to be the first step in a process of several steps that we would need to even to be able to ascertain what, if any, requests we have from out there and if we have capacity.
My one question that I have, not against what you've laid out here at all,
sure.
Just a couple questions that I have. Is there anything that prevents a current mayor or anyone to come forward to us individually to seek funds?
No,
okay.
There is not. It's back to where I just thought that Story County Economic Development Group, that's what this group in part was
sure.
to do.
Sure. Yeah. So just for clarification, so your request is it's not stating that, yes, we're going to provide anything. It's just ascertaining information is where is everybody at? And although know that we don't know exactly where we are at as a
correct.
County, but to just pull in as much information as
correct.
Possible at this time and also know that that may change over
mm-hmm.
whether it's
yes.
by May 15th or by June 15th or whatever, things may continue to change as we are kind of continuing to look at this.
That is correct. And the AABC with Drew being attached to us at the AABC and Justin being attached. And we know we've got Leanne very doing a lot of things right now. So this seems like that they Drew and Justin would be in a position to provide support.
And this is looking at specifically businesses or other things within their community that may
that's
what I'm seeking the clarification on.
No, it would be both businesses in the community and then economic development itself, but also we know from all of the reports that we continue to get from Dustin and before that from Brendan, before that from Drew, the financial health of the communities themselves, the actual local government units, have often played into what ends up being requests of some type for economic development assistance. Example, the Cambridge, the building in Cambridge, I mean, the city owns it. You know, it was no longer a private one, et cetera. So that it could be a request to the community from the community itself to say that this is actually our biggest worry about economics right now. Mayor Kamingas included in as is kind of he was developing his request, at least the verbal part, possibility of providing some small loans or forgivable grants to actual small businesses who were not having any income at all. We don't know what it will look like, okay?
And there's a question again here, should that go through the local government or should that be directly? And
correct, I'm with you on that.
I would really like to have more of a sense of what we're asking people. And here's one reason. I think that you talk about local government. I think the cities have pretty much the same sources of funding or kind of revenue streams that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the property taxes that Story County collects, I mean, some of it stays with the county, some of it goes to the city. So if they have revenue problems because property taxes are down certain weeks, you know, then that's another thing. I guess I would like to see some specificity to what we're asking. I'm kind of struggling with all the questions, but I would really want the need identified of what do you know right now. Everybody thinks we're going to have lots of impact, but we don't know. We don't know here as a county.
Right.
And I'm just kind of struggling to have a process where we have some consistent questions that we are asking and maybe some data we're asking for rather than just...
I agree with that.
Maybe you need some.
I agree with that. And my motion or my putting this on the agenda was, it's already a long sentence, okay? So I believe that
somebody needs to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I believe that, I know Supervisor Haddon's been kind of just in brainstorming in general. I appreciate, Lisa, you always throw out a good list of questions. So I think what are all our current contracts with the local communities? And the cost related. That's kind of with what Mayor Cominguez was suggesting about, do we like waive the sheriff's, per capita fee or whatever. How about the question about what funding assistance might they need and why? What happens if funding becomes available to the local communities? For example, if the county steps in to assist, but then funding comes elsewhere, can we recoup our costs? Okay, so those are like just three questions right there. I think it would be up to us to send our questions and convey those types of questions to the Story County Economic Development Group. As I said, it just the item for consideration was getting longer and longer as I wrote it, so I cut it off. But I'm in total agreement with you. Linda's total agreement with you, then we want to know what we want to know. And we may want to send out to our staff that would say, what do you need to know, and have Linda collect those for us. Have Leanne collect those. Okay, so I'm good with that.
My next question then, if we're doing some more questions or figuring out some of those questions to put in, is May 15th too short of a time? Do we need to put that out another week or two? Because
yes.
I think information is good. You it's hard to act on something if you don't have any information. You're not bound by acting on something just because you have the information.
Correct.
But you kind of, we're all kind of going, I don't know if I want to say blindly or anything, but in some respects are because these are uncertain and irregular times, and the idea of just having some information is not.
The 2012 conference is never again. So today we have 508,000 patients. We're told that 6,376
Somebody seems to be listening to the governor's press conference. Thank you.
So I'm in agreement with you, Lisa.
Okay. Yeah.
It may be that the Drew and Dustin may suggest some questions also. So yes, and the date I picked was just kind of knowing what was coming before us, but we certainly think this is something that we need to know. So the deadline's good. I know sometimes giving cities the deadline with everything you're dealing with might be a good idea.
No, I think deadlines are fine, but I think it needs to be pushed out. I think if maybe Dustin and Drew or whatever came up with some questions, that we came up with some questions. There may be duplicative questions. They can merge whatever, but just, and then also to, as they're trying to garner that information, is to also let them know you may get a follow-up. These questions may generate other questions, as oftentimes they do.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay.
I'm kind of struggling for focus here. And I guess the other thing that I'm thinking about is we still don't know what all money is coming down from the Fed.
Right.
There's more things that are being proposed now that I've been reading about. And I guess my sense is that we have time, because I think there is money coming from the Fed, and we need to sort that out and make sure that we're all looking at those opportunities first. And I can see the county coming back later and saying what needs have not been met from the federal or the state.
I would agree.
And we can kind of be,
So if we
need a backup.
jobs, maybe.
If, right.
If, and we'll know right. more. And it might take a few months to sort this out. I'm thinking, definitely, I wish we had more
right.
focus on, we think where the need will be is,
so
it hasn't got something or
government,
we don't know. So it's maybe a pretty broad stroke thing. And because of that, I'm afraid that it'll be portrayed or people will think of it as, oh, the county's going to have to really help with all of these things.
Yeah.
I think we have to be very careful and say we're all in the same
right.
boat
right.
here.
Right. I would agree.
We're just asking for information. There aren't any guarantees here that we're going to be able to meet needs.
Right, and this might be something that Dustin and Drew or someone may have to respond to is, you know, does it hurt garnering some of this information now? And then as we see, you know, the federal government does another bill that's going to go towards local governments or whatever, asking them to do a follow-up, whether that's a month later or whatever, to just to see what changes have occurred, what adjustments. Again, there's no guarantee we will do anything because we don't know based on the county's revenues and maintaining the essential services that we need to maintain for the county. But if a county came up to me today and said, hey, do you have money to do this or this is our need, I would want to know, you know, kind of What all have you looked into? What haven't you, you know? What
right.
haven't you done? What change, any of
so
that?
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
And so I'm proposing that we start a list. If that list, what that list, I like Linda's comment. You know, that list months from now, for when the county might be in a position to really know what our economic position is, that list may have already been fulfilled based upon
right.
other sources of funding. May have gone away. The reason I think at least we get started with this now, okay, create our questions, reach out to people, is one of the initial verbal comments or requests, I heard it more as a request, from Mayor Kamangas was either a jurisdictional phone call or then a local economic development follow-up phone call the next day. Sorry, those two conversations occurred only hours apart. Was that I got a couple of self-employed small business owners that own shops in my town who can't feed their family. That's a real immediate type thing that I assume we will be addressing via like food bank or access or something like that. Then there will be longer ones. And then, of course, at that point was the comment about a couple of these people also don't qualify for PPP because they don't have an employee. All right. So, so back to what Linda said, I'm in agreement, Linda. We won't know the final list, and we probably won't know, and Lisa, what you're saying, we probably won't know exactly where we stand. But if we send out an initial request for what are the needs in the community that aren't being met, and what do you foresee maybe longer term, and then with Drew, you know, send us our questions, we've got a starting point at least. Otherwise, we're going to be having this conversation 4 months from now and be no further down the road of gathering information rather than fine-tuning information.
Let me ask who's on the phone. Leanne, are you on the phone?
I am.
Yes.
Dustin, are you still on the phone?
Still here.
And is Drew by any chance on the phone?
Drew is not. I'm pretty sure he's still on paternal leave.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
And so Dustin, then, would you take the lead on this now, and we will send to you questions we have. You've heard the discussion. Do you think you could put together a draft document and maybe pull Drew into it when he's back at work, and we get it back to the three supervisors individually to respond if we have anything else?
And
that work?
I'm good with that. And I guess my question is, I'm assuming you're not wanting to have a date listed at this particular time.
Correct.
We just get the questions right now to review before we say, okay, put this. I just want to make sure I'm clear what you're saying, Lenny. You're wanting
to start
drafting the question document that we can look at and maybe add some additional questions and then kind of direct them to
send it out at a later time, or are you wanting to? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I feel like Laura's nodding, so. Okay.
I just put something on here saying we need to get going, Gabe.
So,
do you want a motion or should we call it direction to staff?
Direction to staff works also for me.
Let's just do that. Is that sufficient? Leanne, Dustin?
That works for me. Thank you.
Excellent. Great.
Thank you for taking this on. Thank you.
Okay. Then we will go on to department reports. Animal control, we have a report. Super Young Tong. Okay, doesn't sound like Sue's on the phone. Any comments about the report?
No, thank you, Sue. If you listen to this or pass it on, whatever, that thank you to you and your staff for continuing to do a difficult job at a difficult time.
Okay. Yep.
Then we'll go on to other reports. We have none. Upcoming agenda items. Does anybody have anything to note?
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. So on May 5th, I believe that Carla Webb and Brett McLean are going to present research that they did a few months ago, based on a request from mine about the changing of income guidelines for general assistance. And I believe you may have seen an email that I responded to Brett about timing or whatever. We originally had kind of thought that would be put on hold given the hiring of the homeless prevention coordinator and cost, et cetera. But I think now it's at least time to hear the information. They're going to get more requests. Also on May 5th, I believe I saw an email from Leanne today confirming that she's getting ready to put a generally focused discussion about board interest in expanding our urban renewal area or TIF economic development policy to allow third-party payments in order to create more low and moderate income housing within the county. That is the first step in what will be, a multi-step process. But the first discussion has to be, are we interested in doing this? Because right now we've added housing development to our urban renewal plan, but we have not allowed third-party rebates and any set payments to any third parties, just government units. I think, May 5th, Lisa Markley is going to come in with the estimated fund balance. Oh, I did want to go back to let you know on the May 5th, I believe the discussion on the rebates, even though it's a general discussion, I believe that Kurt Friedrich is planning to be here to discuss this. He has a similar relationship with Nevada right now. And so he might be able to answer some questions in general. And then I believe also Mike Cox might be here just to listen, since there is a development that Mr. Friedrich has that is involving the transfer of some land to the county. Once again, though, they are not tied together. It's just I think they want to provide basic input at that point. Okay. So then at the end, I'm anticipating at the end of the month that we will be having some kind of discussions, more taking a look and into June about what fiscal year 21 adjustments might need to be made. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Okay, those are all things that other departments are putting on in the agenda.
Correct, yeah. But, you know, sometimes we just say us, but we already know that's in the works. And we've initiated in some fashion, yeah.
Anything?
I don't have this time.
Okay. Public forum number 2. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the pharmacy open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Is there any public comment at this point, and are there any text messages?
And I'm looking for text messages right now. There are no text messages.
Okay. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors.
I guess I can go. Last night I had a MICA meeting. Financially, they seem to be, they're like anyone else and stuff, but they are maintaining. They're still doing much of their work from home at this particular time to the extent that they can, and they are also developing a process as to looking at when they can bring people back. Their challenge is they're going to be moving into a new building, but which would have more social distancing allowed in there. It's the current building that they are in until they do that move, that they're in, you know, offices that have more than one individual in there. So they're trying to figure those things out at this particular time before they start moving people back in, or how to, kind of similar like us, do you have a group that comes in one day and then another group that comes in another day so that you're kind of circulating folks through from working at home or being in the office to protect staff and the clients that they work with. I have on my calendar for the CCMT meeting tomorrow. I'm also going to try to be on a FEMA call tomorrow at 11. It just depends on what time we're done with our CCMT. There's a FEMA call on the food supply chain. So I'd like to be on that. But again, it's all dependent on kind of our timing tomorrow. The only other thing I have for the rest of my week is actually on Saturday, bright and early in the morning. It'll be via Zoom versus in person, but I'm speaking at a conference on disability issues and advocacy. And was supposed to be, actually I was supposed to have two that I was supposed to be speaking at, that one here in Ames and one in Des Moines. It was supposed to be the keynote for one in Des Moines, and the Des Moines one has delayed that, they canceled it for this year. So that's the rest of my agenda for this particular week.
Cool.
Besides responding to all the emails and stuff. And I should say Boost is still working through looking for hiring a new new executive director and stuff. So that is something that the committee is still, that we're still working on.
So have you selected?
We came down to two individuals,
okay.
And stuff. And so we're just kind of working from there.
Sure. Okay. So this is Laura, and this is always kind of my down week, the end of the month and the beginning of. So I do plan on possibly listening in to the city council meeting tonight. There's some follow-up discussion about land use designations for their 2040 plan that I'm interested in. They also are going to be discussing some requests and from asset agencies. And I know that we're looking forward to that coming toward us, so never hurts to pick up a little information by listening that way. We'll be the CCMT, the jurisdictional meeting on Thursday night. And I think that's it for me, headed before our next Tuesday meeting, at least. Of course, we have a Friday board meeting also.
Oh, yes, thanks for that reminder.
Yeah. So the update, I think the big one is from the Story County Housing Trust Fund meeting I had last week. We did vote to do the majority of that $100,000 roughly to the three agencies. We cut back the request by $10,000 each to both Mainstream and Friendship Arc, which meant they're still getting $37,000 apiece.
Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
We cut back by $10,000 each the request from Friendship Arc and Mainstream. They both wanted $47,000 each, and we're going to give $37,000 each, but this is for building of two new residential facilities for their clientele individually. And so they have the rest of their funding all arranged. Okay, so I think they'll be able to both swing those. And then we did give the $17,000 to YSS. To more repairs to the Rosedale shelter, et cetera, for new bathrooms, some more security features, et cetera. And so now, starting with May, the Housing Trust Fund Board will now start to look at what the funding needs will be and requirements for the money that's called quote the 19 money. It was granted to us in calendar year 19 and calendar year 20, and that's probably where we're going to be discussing a lot about rental assistance going forward. So that's my update.
Thank you. jurisdictional executives meeting again on Thursday. Communities are doing around the county. Keith Martin did a really good presentation for us the last time regarding testing and a lot of issues and speaking of the public health issues. Les White is going to come. He's going to join us on Friday at 10:30.
Excellent.
Just to talk about where she thinks we are with contact tracing and testing and the related issues. So that might be enough time to discuss the recommendation again, recommending moving for people to wear face masks. This morning I was on KASI and we had a good talk about absentee voting, encouraging people in the census, and also just the kind of feeling out in the community about going slow and being patient on how we reopen. And I did also notice that in the Tribune that there were some, it's kind of mixed with the businesses, what they're saying right now, what they're going to do. Some are saying pick up the curbside, that seems to be working for us, and are willing to be patient with that some more. Others are saying open up cautiously. I will be on KHOI on Thursday talking with them as well about what's going on with the county. We have I'm not doing this chronologically. Tomorrow we have a CCMT meeting and Friday's special board meeting. So that's kind of the key. Do you have anything else? We do have a closed session on our agenda. So I would entertain a motion that the board go into closed session to speak with our county attorney.
I so move. Second.
Okay, I think the people who say then any further discussion?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Edden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We will go into closed session. Give us about 5 minutes to go to another room, and I think the people need to be on.
Please announce yourself.
Anytime after 2, perhaps.
Do you have Ethan on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Is Eric still on the phone? Or is Eric back on the phone? Who do you need to be?
I don't think he, I think we'll just say, my recommendation would be for the reason discussing closed session, I still recommend filing an application for further review.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to file an application for further review by the Iowa Supreme Court of Iowa Court of Appeals case 19-0349, James Plansky, as trustee for the Plansky Family versus Troy County Board of Adjustment.
I would so move. Second.
Is there any further discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion carried. Okay. The next item on the agenda is adjournment, so I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Seddon?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Have a good day, Ethan.